I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate but climbs over the wall is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but they will run away because they don't know who the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have a life. Indeed, so that they could have a life to the fullest.
The word of the Lord. We have the privilege this morning of receiving sermons from two different students. So I'd like to invite up Owen for our first sermon.
Morning, Oak Church. Morning. My name is Owen, if you don't know me, and I'm in 10th grade. And today I'll be talking about the concepts access and danger from this passage. In this story, Jesus describes a sheep pen with a gate, a shepherd that calls his sheep by name, and a thief that climbs over the wall only to steal, kill, and destroy. This to help the Pharisees understand something about his kingdom, explaining it, as he says in the MSG version of this passage, as plainly as he can. Despite this, the simple way that God's kingdom works is still way beyond the Pharisees' understanding. These learned men of the law and God's word still, quote, had no idea what he was talking about. I didn't either when I first read this chapter, and I bet you all might be a little confused as well. Who is the shepherd? Who is the thief? If Jesus wanted us to understand, then why would he use an analogy like this one to put it as plainly as he can? And why are these men, those who are supposed to understand the prophets and the scriptures more than anyone, the ones who still fail to understand what Jesus has to say and the role he is playing in our world? In this passage, we see a familiar concept of shepherds and sheep. This seems to be a common theme in Jesus' parables, but each one has its own distinct message. But why shepherds? Why sheep? In many cases, the shepherds of these parables are a representation of Jesus, guiding the sheep the right way on the right path, and in his caring love for them, making sure no sheep runs away. In fact, as Jesus says in John 10, verse 11, he loves them so much that he would lay down his life for each and every one of them to keep them on the right path. Because of this, they can put their full trust in him, knowing that he will not lead them astray. This is a lot like our relationship with Jesus, sheep being a perfect placeholder for us as humans in our walk with God. Sheep, by nature, are not dumb, but rather trusting followers of the masters they choose, and are animals that require a lot of care and guidance from their leader. This is a lot like our relationship with our master. We have enough intelligence to understand who our Lord and Savior is, but often can be led astray, following different paths and requiring the protection of God from the thieves in this story, things that take us away from life with God. In this life, we seem to always find ourselves looking for shortcuts and being misled by other paths. But while Jesus describes himself as the gate in this story, even before his sacrifice, Jesus was foreshadowing what would happen next and explaining what it would do for us. He even went as far as to warn us of the mistakes we might make in trying to follow him. He is the only true way that we can live in fullness of life, and only through him may we enter the kingdom of God and do what God calls us to do in this life. Despite this, we seem to overcomplicate the simple and best ways God has shown us to live our lives on earth, when we should probably just do what he calls us to do. But God's unwavering love for us does not fail. And no matter what road we find ourselves on, his comforting hand is always there to put us back on the right path. As we live our lives, we must listen to what God is calling us to do. This will have a lasting impact on our relationships with God and the lives of those around us. In my life, seeing people who have found ways that God has blessed and called them in order to bless others has inspired me. This goes for people like Gary, a smiling face that always seems to light up your day. It goes for people like Gwen, who works so hard behind the scenes to make sure things like this can happen. For people like Ned and Nan Breslin, whose dedication to this community has helped our church become the beacon of hope, healing, and hospitality it is, along with so many others. These are the people we should look to when trying to find our way in life, people that our shepherd will use to help guide us back toward the gate. Would you all pray with me? Lord, I pray that, thank you for this opportunity to be here, I pray that you will have blessed the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts. And I pray that we will look to find what God is calling us to do in this life and see those around us who are doing so and use them as an example for our lives. Amen. Now I'm going to call up Charlotte to share what she has to share.
Yeah, thank you so much, Owen. In this interpretation of my text, I will be mainly focusing on the voice that we hear through both the shepherd and the gate in John chapter 10, 1 through 10. So, in Jesus' telling of this story, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, he sets up a colorful scene filled with sheep, rolling pastures, and a voice, like Owen said. But this voice takes form in all aspects of the story, whether gate or shepherd preaching guidance. At first, it seems a quite simple image, calm and familiar, especially for those who would have been listening at the time. But, like many of Jesus' teachings, what seems straightforward on the surface can carry a much deeper meaning. This story isn't just about sheep, if you haven't figured that out by now. It's about voice, recognition, and the relationship that leads someone to not only hear a voice, but also to trust it enough to follow. If you think about it, that idea connects closely to our lives. We are constantly surrounded by voices, some loud and some quiet, but all of them take shape in us in some way. They tell us who we should be, what we should value, and which direction to take. Whether we realize it or not, we respond to those voices. So my question isn't really whether we are following a voice, it's which one. If we start at the very beginning, we see that Jesus' words immediately seek to reassure and establish his analogy. Verse 1 states clearly, "I tell you the truth," a phrase found through all the Gospels and one he uses before the Good Shepherd story. Christian writer Frank E. Gabeline, author of the Expositor's Bible Commentary, notes that to tell you the truth generally introduces a serious statement about Jesus or his mission, typically referring to a general principle of salvation or to a future person's actions. In this case, I believe Jesus is referencing both, which we will later see in the next few verses. To tell you the truth can also be viewed through the eyes of the Pharisees, who were the audience at this time. They likely listened with doubt to the unusual and possibly blasphemous words coming out of Jesus. Given this background, we can assume the words, "I tell you the truth," aim to ground and appeal to a skeptical crowd, people who may not have come to learn from Jesus' teachings, but rather to critique and find fault. This context, along with the understanding that Jesus is preparing us for his story, leads us into verse 3. In verse 3, the Bible says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." This verse illustrates the shepherd bringing the sheep out of the gate where they are kept and guiding them into this new space. Here, Jesus emphasizes both the individuality of each sheep, each one being known by name, and the bond they share with the shepherd, shown in their ability to recognize his voice. This idea of being known, especially by the God who created the entire universe, is a beautiful and gorgeous, as Gwen would say, revelation, but a relatively well-explored part of our relationship with God in the Bible, as most of you are probably familiar with it. with this idea. However, upon further examination, aka Googling, I realized that verse 3 offers a unique perspective on this idea. John 10:3, it turns out, is the very first time Jesus has mentions his knowledge of each of our names, marking a significant turning point in both his storytelling and how he presents our relationship with him. As someone who struggles to remember names, even when they are repeated to me multiple times, the fact that he knows the names of the 8.3 billion people on this planet is amazing. From our neighbor across the street, to the people we pass on trips to work, to the random people we counter, or the kind man who checks out your groceries, Jesus knows them all by name and calls to them. This verse highlights the level of intimacy God has with each of us, and the extent to which he understands our hearts and souls. This idea of being known is further explored in the second part of the verse, where we learn that our connection with God is a two-sided relationship. We, it turns out, his sheep, have the ability to recognize his voice. This revelation is powerful because it confirms that we can engage in whatever God wills for us may be. While studying this verse, I was reminded of an article I read about babies and their ability to recognize their mother's voice. In the article by Catherine Armstrong from Yale's Baby School, she explains that an infant starts to recognize their mother's voice from the third trimester, showing the close bond between a mother and child right from the start. This recognition without sight and based solely on sound reminds me of how the sheep know the shepherd by his voice, and how we can similarly hear God amidst the noise of life. If we take this metaphor further, it also sheds light on why we may struggle to see God's work in our lives. Like a baby in the womb, we cannot always see clearly, but we can recognize signs of his presence through prayer, through peace, or through quiet guidance. This voice is vital, as we see in verses 4 and 5. It helps us distinguish between what feels familiar and what does not. Verses 4 and 5 say, when he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Here, I'm struck by the sheep's obedience. Despite the lure of following a new or possibly better voice, they stay with the shepherd and even scatter at the sound of another. This strong connection is particularly interesting when compared to other biblical portrayals of sheep, as they can have a relatively negative connotation of wandering off. The parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15, for instance, focuses on sheep that stray and must be brought back. But here, in verse 4, the sheep remain. I believe the key difference between these two stories is faith, a faith that is strong enough to follow the one true voice and ignore others. This faith turns their trust into action. They do not just recognize the shepherd's voice, they respond to it. After this, an important transition occurs when Jesus ends up retelling the story after the people failed to understand. This repetition of the story is significant. It reveals his patience with us when we struggle to understand. It also offers an opportunity to expand on his thoughts, which we will soon see as we reread the second half. In the second telling, he does not merely repeat the analogy, but adds further meaning to it. He notes that others came before him, but, quote, the sheep didn't listen. He continues, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. They will freely go in and out and find pasture. These lines are crucial for two reasons. First, they provide closure, answering questions left open in the first telling. Secondly, they build on earlier lessons, guiding us towards a deeper understanding of their importance. If we look closely, we can see that something shifts between the first and second tellings. From verse 3, they follow because they are familiar with his voice, to quote 9, whoever enters by me will be saved. The focus moves from being known to being cared for. From verses 4 and through 5, quote, they won't follow a stranger's voice but will scatter, to verse 8, the sheep didn't listen to them, you also notice the focus shifting from the actions the sheep take to why those actions matter. This change is consequential. The transition from being known to being cared for shows us that being known by God brings life. It is not just a comforting idea, it leads to guidance, protection, and ultimately salvation. The shift from action to meaning also matters. In verses 4 and 5, we see the sheep through their actions, how they observe their shepherd by walking behind him, or how they flee when hearing a stranger's voice. In other words, the sheep react by following or running. But in verse 8, we learn why. The sheep didn't listen. They did not follow the wrong voices because they trusted the right one. And that brings us to the main idea. We follow the voices that know us. The sheep follow the shepherd because they are known by him and because they recognize his voice. The same applies to us. We follow the voices we trust, which I think ultimately is what this passage wants us to get from it. This can look like experiencing belonging and care, or being known in a way that goes beyond a shallow understanding. It can also mean realizing our identity isn't based on what random voices say about us, but on the voice of someone who truly knows us. At the same time, it involves making intentional choices with this key thought in mind. Every day, we are surrounded by voices that try to shape us. Friends, expectations, social media, pressure, even our own thoughts. And whether we recognize it or not, we are always deciding which ones to listen to, as the voices we listen to influence who we become and the actions we take. We follow the voices that know us and that we know because being known by God leads us into the fullness of life with him. As beautifully expressed in verse 10, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed. We recognize the voice of Jesus calling us into that wonderful life. When we recognize the voice of Jesus calling us into that wonderful life, it gives us the trust to follow him. Thank you very much.